As we did this morning, we'll begin again with Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 107, 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace." This morning we talked about redemption. We said that redemption is an Old Testament concept that most often in the Old Testament referred to God's deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian captivity. But then as we find the word in the New Testament, it's a word which really means to purchase or to ransom something. And today we understand that to redeem something means to buy back. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. In our lesson this morning, we noted that redemption is very important, and we particularly talked about those who need redemption, and that's all of us. But those who have not been redeemed, not in the sense that Jesus hasn't offered His blood for them, but in the sense that they have not responded to Jesus' offering His blood for them. Redemption is one of the most important subjects that we could ever address. This evening, I want us to talk about some things that are made necessary by the fact of our redemption. In other words, going back to what the psalmist said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." If I could paraphrase that, I would say it like this. If we've been redeemed, we need to act like it. We need to talk like it. We need to live like it. We need to demonstrate the fact that we have been redeemed. The challenge for each of us this evening is to make sure after or as we look into our lives, our daily activities, the way we conduct ourselves once we leave this place, are we demonstrating the fact that we are the redeemed of the Lord, as Isaiah refers to us? Paul and I have put together a number of songs that we'd like to use to illustrate and emphasize the points and the scriptures that I've included in this lesson, and I hope the end result is that God will be praised and we will be strengthened, God will be glorified, and we will be edified. In the words of the psalmist, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And let's say so in the following ways. Number one, let the redeemed of the Lord say so by expressing their gratitude. One of the clearest lessons that you can ever find in Scripture on the subject of gratitude is recorded in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. That's the story that tells about the time when Jesus was traveling through the countryside between Samaria and Galilee, and He came into this small village, and He came upon a group of 10 lepers, men who were suffering with that horrible affliction of leprosy, who of necessity and by the dictates of God's law were forced to live separate from everyone else. And so they just had their own little band, their little colony. And as they saw Jesus, the Bible says they lifted up their collective voice and they begged Him to heal them. Jesus answered their request for healing by instructing them to go and show themselves to the priest. That was a requirement of God's law in order to verify the cure of their affliction. And then Luke says, as they went, they were cleansed. And then beginning in verse 15, Luke says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." How many times have we studied that particular passage and truthfully found ourselves aligned in our behavior more with those 9 who enjoyed the tremendous blessing of unspeakable value from God, from Jesus, and yet forgot to turn back and give Him thanks? It would not even begin to be possible for us to calculate the number of blessings that God pours into our lives. Not every day, not every hour, not even every minute. Such is the magnitude of God's care and provision for us. Every time we inhale, we breathe in a bounty of God's blessings to us. Then multiply that time millions and millions of times. The truth is, most of us, I hope most of us, many of us, surely are in a routine so far as our thankfulness to God. We tend to do pretty well with routines. We get in a routine for our daily Bible reading. We get in a routine for our studying. We get in a routine for our prayer. And if you're in a prayer routine, in other words, if you've got a practice of praying to God every morning when you get up, or maybe in the evening just before you go to bed, and perhaps giving thanks to God for your meals at mealtime, I'm afraid the truth is a lot of God's people don't ever fill in the gaps between those times with thanksgiving. And yet, the Bible tells us that we're to constantly, perpetually, be grateful. You say, "Oh, preacher, I am grateful. I'm just so glad that God's blessed me. I'm so thankful." Have you ever had anybody that you'd done something for, and maybe you'd done it several times, and they never made any kind of extra effort to say thank you? Knowing, though, if someone were to come up to them and say, "Has so-and-so, he's done a lot for you. Oh, yes, and I'm so thankful for it." But you know, they've never really gone to the trouble to look you up and get right down to the point and say, "Let me tell you how much I appreciate what you've done for me." How does that make you feel? I know we don't do things for other folks just so they can tell us thank you. But you know, it is nice to be told every now and then when someone is grateful. It's good to be told from time to time that someone appreciates us. When is the last time you made a concentrated effort to really thank God? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul gives a list of about 19 or 20 characteristics of people, the kind of people that we don't have any business associating with. People who are just always in trouble. You know what one of the characteristics that he gives there in that list of 19 or 20 traits of those people is? Ingratitude. Unthankful. Ungrateful. People who are never thankful for what they have. How great is the gift of redemption? Have we thanked God for it? We're going to sing about 3 songs now, and those songs hopefully will help us to understand a little bit better how much we need to be thankful.
O thou fount of every blessing, do my heart to sing thy praise, springs of mercy.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so by godliness of life. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace that is given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. Godliness is the outward manifestation of a life or of a heart that is right with God on the inside. Remember in our Wednesday night series, we're studying where Peter said, what sort of persons ought you to be? With all holiness and godly conduct. Holiness is on the inside and godliness is on the outside. And Paul gives us the encouragement here in this passage that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Our inside part needs to be kept on the right level, and if it does, it'll keep the outside part going right. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so by being diligent in service. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36, we read, "Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, 'Please come to us without delay.' So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing the tunics and the other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up, and then, calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, many believed in the Lord." When I think about being diligent in service, maybe a little bit selfishly, I think about my grandfather, who opened up his house to be used as a meeting place for the church when a tornado came through and totally destroyed the little church building there in the community. Through the years, he was known in the community for always growing a big, huge garden, big enough, in fact, to feed the whole neighborhood. I still run into people who knew him and who benefited from his kindness, and it makes me proud to be in his family when they tell me what a good man he was. When I think about serving, I remember a certain widow in the congregation of the Lord's church where I grew up. Sister Ruby's husband had died years before I ever knew their family. But if you ever had a sickness or a death in the family, or just a plain old run of difficulty, Sister Ruby was always the first one to show up at your house with a covered dish, usually more than one. Sometimes so quick it seemed almost like she hadn't had time to fix it after the word had gotten out. Like some other folks I know of around here, she wouldn't ever dream of being the recipient of something from anybody else. All she wanted to do was give. She didn't want anybody to do anything for her. When I think about serving, I think about some of the servants in this congregation who seem like they're always ready to give themselves to the task of serving others, serving the church, serving the Lord. And these are some of the same folks who are very uncomfortable, or would be if they knew you were trying to do something for them. It is of necessity also that when I think about service, I'm reminded of the selfishness of some, even some of my brothers and sisters. Selfishness that comes out with their excuses. Selfishness, and sometimes mixed in with laziness, that comes to the surface with their reluctance to commit themselves to serving the Lord and serving His people. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so by being diligent in our service.
To the work, be our servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of His counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do.
Lord, plant my feet on
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so by telling others the good news. You know, we generally like to talk about the things that we're interested in. If we've been redeemed, isn't that significant enough to share with other people? The good news of salvation could properly be seen as a chain that doesn't need to be broken. Each one, tell one, and that'll convert the world. If each one of us could tell someone and they were converted, and if they would tell someone and they were converted, and they would tell some, you see where that goes. That's kind of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. He said, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." There's a word that Paul uses there in that passage. It's the same word that he uses in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Notice how he describes the gospel. He says, "In accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted." And he said, "What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also." Have you ever been entrusted with something really, really important? Most of us would shy away from something like that. "Oh no, I don't want to do that. Don't pick me. I'm not the one." Most of us would say, "Oh, get somebody else to do that. That's too important." Let me suggest to you that if you have become a child of God, if you are a Christian, you have been entrusted with the most precious treasure on this earth, and it's your responsibility to share it with others. Have we been seeing our redemption as something that we have been entrusted with? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so by telling others the good news.
If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if the care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of His presence is lighting your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, the Savior.
Just a minute, we're going to sing our invitation song. It's I'll Live for Him. I hope that we've been reminded of how important our redemption is, both through the words of Scripture and through these good songs that have been focused in on these points that we've tried to share. You know, redemption is one of those most basic things, and yet it's one of those things that we dare not move away from. The study that we had this morning was probably as close as we usually hear on what we might call first principles, the basics of obeying the gospel and having our sins washed away. And that's the kind of thing that perhaps some have gotten into their minds that we don't need to preach about too much anymore. We don't need to talk about things like that anymore, but I'm here to tell you that those are the things that we need to be reminded of. Those are the things that we get into real problems over when we don't study them regularly. The very basic, elementary concept of our redemption in the blood of Jesus is part of the foundation that everything else of our Christian learning and education needs to be built on. Let's make sure of our redemption. Jesus has made sure of the shedding of His blood and the offering of the sacrifice, and so it's up to us to make sure that we're in obedience to His will. If you're not a child of God, or if you're an unfaithful Christian and need to respond to the Master's invitation, we invite you to do so right now as we stand together and sing.